Democratic Alliance Shadow Minister James Lorimer has got a new portfolio, but in his previous life, as it were, before the portfolio shift, he was our go-to man on anything to do with oil and gas. Yesterday's announcement that Total is pulling out of two highly prospective areas in the Southern Cape coast, well, we couldn't think of anyone better to actually unpack it for us. James joins us this morning. The story from Shell. Just by way of background, when we heard about Brilpadda and Leipert, we loved the names, but more than that, we loved the huge resources that appear to have been there. But now Total's pulled out of those and something else called Blocks 5, 6, and 7, all off the Cape Southern Coast. Unpack it for us, please.
Okay, so this was very exciting because it was the first offshore serious discovery of hydrocarbons. They reckoned that there was 1 billion barrels of what they called oil condensate, which is, you know, when it gets that deep and at that pressure, it's difficult to distinguish exactly between what is oil and what is gas. Anyway, we're talking about more gas in this one. What was estimated by the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, which mustn't be confused with Petro SA, which is the oil company. The Petroleum Agency is a very credible licensing organization. And they said they reckon there was that would add about 6,500 jobs to South Africa and about 22 billion to South Africa's gross domestic product. Concretely, it would have provided gas for operations in the Southern Cape. Now, those operations are primarily the old Moss Gas gas-to-liquids plant, and possibly also the Gariqua peaking plant, which is currently a diesel-driven electricity peaking plant, which was used a lot, obviously, during load shedding when the coal-fired power stations broke down. There was also talk of them building a gas-to-power plant at Mossel Bay. So these were all potential destinations for the product that would have come out of Brilpadda and Leipert. Those, though, appear to be receding as possibilities because now not only Total, but also two of the other major partners in that Brilpadda and Leipert field have pulled out. So that means the only one that's left is essentially HCI, the South African operation, with only 10%. It now takes over the entire field, but it's going to need billions to develop it, if it is to develop it. And it's not clear where that money would come from.
Why did Total pull out of there?
So, being an oil company, they're terribly discreet about the reasons for doing that. They said there was not, it was not going to be possible to make it commercially viable. So, three possible reasons for that. Firstly, it's a very technically difficult field. It's about 175 kilometers offshore. You have to go through a whole lot of water before you even hit the subsurface to drill in. It also sits in the Mozambique Current, which is a 5-knot current, which makes things very difficult. If you can imagine you've got a river traveling that fast, pushing against you all the time, makes it expensive and technically difficult. But they knew about this from the beginning, so that can't have been the only reason. There's been a lot of speculation in the industry that they were very worried because they could not secure an offtake agreement for what they would produce from those fields. Now, the problem with a field that size, it's a nice size, but it's not really big enough to justify the building of an entire plant to deal with gas, because what you need that plant for is to liquefy that gas, turn it from a gas into a liquid, and then you can put it on a ship and you can send that tanker anywhere in the world and make lots of money out of it. But this was not going to produce quite enough to justify the building of one of those plants. So the alternative was going to have to be that they would need a domestic customer for that gas. Now, the three things I've told you about already, gas to liquids, Gariqua, possible new gas to power plant in Mossel Bay. But that would need a surety that somebody would be using the gas and buying it for those operations, which apparently they couldn't get out of Petro XA. There is a possible third reason why they've decided not to go ahead with that, and that is a bit more salutary one. And that is that if you look at the recent contracts given out by Petro SA to refurbish the Moss Gas gas-to-liquid fuel plant, they are, shall we say, severely lacking in credibility. part of the plant was going to be refurbished through the Russian Gazprom Bank. Now, we all know that doing business with Russians at the moment is not a good idea. They're sanctioned internationally. They're not great partners to have. The other part of the refurbishment was given to a company called Equator Holdings. Now, we heard just last week that Equator Holdings was driven into liquidation. Now, you would think that Equator Holdings, part of the refurbishment, which was going to come in at over 21 billion rand, would go to quite a large company. However, Equator Holdings was liquidated because it was taken to court for non-payment of a salary. It turned out that Equator also owned a third division football club in Limpopo, which didn't pay its players. One of the players took him to court. The company didn't oppose, and he succeeded in liquidating Equator. So you have to ask, who were these people that got this contract? For a 21 billion rand contract, get liquidated because they haven't paid a few hundred thousand rand in the soccer player's salary. It's a clear problem with Petro-SA and who they're giving their contracts to. So first of all, on the one hand, there's the Russians. And on the other hand, there's this third division soccer club. And I suspect that Total looked at this and said, these guys are not serious. We cannot depend on doing business with state actors who give contracts to people like this. And maybe we should just pull out of dealing not only in this block, but also the Cape block, which would also imply having to deal quite closely with the South African authorities. Instead, they've gone to the far west coast, right up near Namibia, where presumably anything they find, first of all, is going to be a bigger discovery. And secondly, they can just ship it straight offshore.
James, surely this raises big questions for the Government of National Unity. Sure, it might have worked in the olden days or in the before the election that you could have state enterprises playing fast and loose with international investors and, in this case, clearly chasing one away. But with the new government and the new dawn that we're apparently seeing, this is surely not acceptable.
Certainly not acceptable, but we're still discovering how the Government of National Unity is going to work. So far, what we've seen is good progress in certain portfolios, the ones that have DA ministers, and in some others too, where the DA has deputy ministers. There seems to be good cooperation. But mineral resources and petroleum is not one of them. There, from very early, and I have to admit that it is very early days, we haven't seen any sign of the ANC intending to change how it approaches this portfolio. And this perhaps will be a test of it, is whether in cabinet, the DA can bring some influence to bear. And, you know, the jury is out on that one. It would be very nice if we can. And the DA is in a position of saying, well, we're making progress in some areas, but it may be that in some areas, we just have to accept that for the moment, we can't make progress. But that is a huge pity, because the loss to the country in terms of revenue from oil and gas tax receipts and in terms of jobs is really something we can't afford.
In the detail of Total's announcement, it mentioned that it's going to continue holding the Otanikwa South prospective area. What exactly is that, James? Because you would presume it's in a similar area to Brulpadda, Laypert, and this 567.
That's correct. And we can only guess. And my guess would be that they think that there is a much bigger resource there. Therefore, it might be worth keeping that in its back pocket, because it may be that that resource would justify the building of a plant which would liquidize whatever came out of that, or indeed might have oil. And oil is much easier to deal with than gas, in the sense that you just pump it straight out onto a tanker. You don't have to have any shore-based facilities and then take it away. But of course, that still means that the South African government would get revenues from it. So South Africa would not lose from that kind of operation. But yeah, as I say, completely speculative, but I think that's likely what their thinking is, that there is still a resource off there that is a big resource.
So the departure of Total, maybe for us as taxpayers, can you give us an indication of, had they gone ahead with Brulpadda and Laypert, had there been no obstacles to the investment, how much investment would it have been, and what kind of tax revenues would South Africa have earned from a field of that size?
the total project was probably going to be worth $4 billion, of which they'd spent about 10%. So $400 million. So that's, translate that yourself into Rand, that's a lot of money. Depending on who you listen to, they reckon that there was about $10 billion worth of tax revenues a year over the life of that project. That's not inconsiderable. And, you know, they're all this. The life was probably I would think, in excess of 10 years. So that's, you know, it's a nice chunk of change. And then, you know, that's without all the things that go along with that, the jobs that they were expecting would be created. Simply the resource, the gas that we would have had to power that Gariqua plant, and if they'd built a gas-to-power plant in Mossel Bay, I mean, that would have been a lot cheaper than the diesel that they're using for the peaking plants at the moment. So huge savings there, plus possible other users of industrial users of gas in the southern and eastern Cape. So that's a huge loss to the economy. And then, you know, so there's the foreign exchange of all the fuel that we would not have had to import. Right down the line, it's great stuff. And it's a huge loss right down the line. Two hits from PetroSA in 1 week. So that's not good.
That the headline there, of course, is 100 billion rand foregone on tax revenues in one decision. But maybe there's a bit of upside somewhere. Might it be that they're going to accelerate the investment now on the West Coast? Because we do see, and again, you can just update us on that, that Namibia has become the hottest exploration destination in the world for oil and gas. And that's right at the Orange River mouth. Clearly, South Africa has got its opportunities right next door, adjacent to those. So as an update, are we seeing any exploration on the South African side? And might it be that Total have gone there instead?
Yes, it seems that that's what they're planning. That I'm not sure what their drilling program is, but they do appear to be very serious about exploring the West Coast blocks. So one would assume that an announcement to that effect would come quite soon. So we don't know, but I mean, logically, it seems that is their way forward in South Africa. Nevertheless, it comes off the back of a loss of the extent of their participation. It would have been nice to have had them drilling there and the Brulpadda-Leyfert field. But, you know, one out of two is better than nothing, I guess.
I'm just thinking from the perspective of HCI, they've lost out on a huge opportunity here with the 90% partners. Maybe they're talking to others. Could it be that the whole deal with Mosgas will bring the Russians into this area? And do they have, well, they've got Gazprom, of course, but do they have expertise in deep-level oil exploration?
I can't answer that. But I'm sure that HDI will be looking for partners anywhere it can. I mean, there are other super majors who might quite like the idea of not having to do the exploration, but latching onto something that is already a proven resource. That could be quite attractive. But nevertheless, it is a lot of money. And the problems with the customer, the offtake, will have to be sorted out before anybody gets serious about it.
Is there anything here that is a mirror of what happened with Shell, which also announced that it has pulled out of certain of its investments in South Africa?
No, and the Shell is really talking about its downstream operation, and now that's the petrol station side of the business, and it's doing that all over the world. So although there was some speculation that was caused entirely by South African conditions, I don't think that's correct. I think that's part of a larger business strategy, and Shell too has said that they want to remain involved in the upstream part of the business, which is the oil and gas discovery and production.
So when we bring it all together, it looks like it's an aberration in the overall picture. In the Total, we know, has been here for 70 years in South Africa, got 500 petrol stations, 550, 700 megawatts of renewable energy plants, and. They heavily invested in this part of the world, but they just couldn't make this thing work because of the issues that you outlined, and perhaps because of, well, not the kind hoped for from government. Lessons learned?
Well, one would hope so. As I say, it's a huge downside to the credibility of Petro SA and indeed to Minister Gwede Mantashe, who's in charge of this. He's now going to have to explain to the South African people why he's allowed these things to happen, why he's allowed Petro SA to be managed and run by people who clearly are not up to the job. And I have been saying that some heads have had to roll. You can't just laugh these two things off, the departure of Total and the collapse of their refurbishment plans. Something has to happen. And let's hope this is the catalyst for some big changes, either at Petro SA or in the ministry.
James, how likely is it, or perhaps just outline for us, we know the world is moving away from oil and gas. We know South Africa has got highly prospective opportunities in this area. You've unpacked that for us on a number of occasions. Is it possible, like the last big resources boom, that because of shooting ourselves in the foot, we might miss out on this? And it might all be too late by the time South Africa brings its oil and gas on. Learned?
I think is that it won't be too late. The world will need oil and gas for a long time to come, no matter what happens with other energy. And we're talking about, you know, sort of 20, 30-year horizons here. There's still going to be a great demand for it in that time. So I don't think that's a worry. But we are already missing out because, you know, if development could have gone ahead now, within a couple of years, we would have seen jobs being created and tax revenue starting to come in. So, yeah, we're losers from this.
And the impact on the direct area there, Mossel Bay, there were quite a few people who bought property in Mossel Bay on the anticipation that there would be a boom after Total went ahead with Brilpadda and Leipert. Is that now something that's on a number of...
Well, it's on hold, isn't it? We're going to have to wait and see whether HCI can find new partners and how long that'll take. And I suspect it'll take a good couple of years. So the imminent prospect has receded. But in the end, there's still a resource down there, and we hope that one day it'll be taken out. Question is when?
James Lorimer, the Shadow Minister for the Democratic Alliance on Petroleum and Minerals, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.